Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody in a good mood? Everybody ready for the word today? All right. Well, we are concluding a series that we've been in that we called When Necessary. And today is the conclusion of that series, and I'm excited about that. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. First of all, I want to say a huge thank you to those that served yesterday on our Serve Day 2017. We had an incredible time. I think we had around 40 people total that were serving in four different locations across the city. And so we were able to mow yards, clean up around buildings. We were able to paint a house, teaming up with Habitat for Humanity, paint a house. We were actually able to meet the family that's going to be moving into that house yesterday. And we just had a really, really good time yesterday. It was hot, it was sweaty, but it was cloudy. And even though it was humid, it could have been worse. Can I get an amen from those of you that were here? It could have been worse, but it was good, and we had a good time. And so thank you guys so much for being a part of that, those of you that were able to be there. And if you weren't able to be there, we understand. So don't worry about that. There's always next year, right? And everybody said amen. And we actually have throughout the year, we have this big Serve Day every summer that we're going to be doing. But throughout the year, each month, we also have opportunities to serve through our ministry called ACTS, Always Caring to Serve. And we have one of those this Tuesday evening. We're going to be at one of the places we served at on Saturday was the Pregnancy Center. We're going to be finishing up some things for them this Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock at the Pregnancy Center. So if you can be there Tuesday at 6, we're going to serve there for about an hour, hour and a half, and be a blessing to them and finish up some things for them. And so we're going to have a good time on Tuesday, so don't forget that. And also, July is Random Act of Kindness Month. Hopefully you've been taking advantage of that and been being a blessing to some people around you that you work with or that you're around at the grocery store. And if you want to pick up some additional, we have these Random Act of Kindness cards that we've been giving you for the month of July. If you need some additional ones, be sure and grab those on your way out today. We can get you another stack of those. Just a great tool to be able to use to give somebody or to leave if you pay for something for somebody or you know, however the Lord lays it on your heart to be a blessing for somebody in your life. You leave a card and it could encourage them. And last week, if you were here, if you weren't here, go back and watch or listen on our podcast. In case you didn't know, we have a new podcast. So if you have the podcast app on your Android device or on iTunes, you can download and subscribe to our podcast and get the message portion of the service every single week there. So be sure and check that out. But if you want to go back and watch it, you can go on our Facebook page and check out last week's message as well. And today, just to recap, this series that we're doing that we're calling When Necessary has been based on a saying that says, share the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. Share the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. And in week one, we talked about final words, and I'll just briefly go through these so you can be caught up to speed. Maybe if you've forgotten what we preached about, I can talk to you later about that. If you've forgotten, you know, I'm just joking with you. In week one, we talked about final words, and we discovered that Jesus, his final words before he went back to heaven, were basically commissioning us, telling us to share Jesus with everybody around us. Everywhere that we go, to the ends of the earth, to share the gospel with people, to live a life that does that, and to be able to communicate that to people and tell people about Jesus. And we looked at some statistics that week, and we discovered that 73% of people who don't know Jesus or have never been to church have not been there because they've never been invited. 73% of people who are not in church or don't know Jesus are in that place because nobody has ever taken the time to simply invite them or talk to them about Jesus, to share their story with somebody. In week two, we talked about a new approach, and we looked at Jesus' approach with Matthew and how he went to Matthew in his mess. He didn't wait for Matthew to get it all together. He went to him while he was at the tax collector's booth. He went to him in his mess. The second thing we said that week was he allowed him to belong before he believed. He didn't tell Matthew, you've got to believe this. Hey, if you'll believe this, you can come follow me. If you'll believe this, if you'll get your act together, then you can come follow me. All he did was he went to him in his mess and said, hey, why don't you come follow me and we'll figure all the rest of it out as we go. We'll figure all the rest of it out as we walk together and you just follow me and I'll teach you what I need to teach you. And the last thing that we said in this new approach was that Jesus simply loved him. No matter what he had done or what state he was in when Jesus came across this man, he simply loved him unconditionally. And Jesus showed that he cared about people and it made all the difference. And then last week we talked about when opportunity knocks. When opportunity knocks, that sometimes you have to invest time and relationship into being able to share Jesus with people. And other times, opportunity will just knock on your door. And you'll have a spontaneous moment of opportunity to share the gospel with somebody or to share your story with somebody, to share Jesus with somebody. And we said last week that the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized within with a lifetime of the opportunity. So when the opportunity presents itself, there's usually a reason why God set it up right in that moment, and all of a sudden you feel like you're supposed to talk to them, or you feel like you're supposed to pray for them, or you feel like you're supposed to buy their groceries, you feel like you're supposed to do something for them. There's usually a reason why Jesus has set it up for that moment, and you have to seize it in the moment. Because if you don't do it, the moment will pass. And if it's one of those moments of opportunity and you feel like the table next to you, I'm supposed to pay for their meal or I'm supposed to buy them some gas or I'm supposed to take them some food and you don't do it right in the moment, how many of you know that person gets up from the table and you may never see them again? There's a moment of opportunity that God will give you to be able to share the love of Jesus with other people around you. And today, as we end this series, I want to talk to you on this subject. This series has been called When Necessary, and I've titled this message, It's Necessary. It's Necessary. Now, have you ever been somewhere, or have you ever had someone try to sell you something? Anybody ever tried to sell you something? Right? Some of y'all are looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, you do. You know somebody that has tried to sell you something at some point in your life. Have you ever received a Facebook message from somebody you haven't talked to in months or years? And the message starts off with, hey, how are you doing? We need to catch up. And then there's like a little space. And then it's like all about this pyramid scheme that they're trying to get you to do. They got in on this thing and they're trying to get you to sign up for it so they can make more money. And then they're telling you that you're going to make, you know, if you spend this much money and you get in this thing for this long, then you're going to make like $1 million. And how many of you know I ain't ever made $1 million off signing up for something like that? Now, I'm not saying it's not possible, but you get that message from somebody and you know they're just trying to sell me something. They're just trying to sell me something. How many of you have ever had somebody sign you up for a presentation that you didn't know was coming? We'll just drop the mic on that one. Somebody signed you up for a presentation that you didn't know was coming. And somebody shows up at your house and they walk in your house because maybe you just tell them no when they show up at the door. It's like, no, you ain't coming in my house. But sometimes they get in your house and they sit down and they pull out this vacuum cleaner, right? And they're trying to sell you a vacuum cleaner. And it doesn't matter what you say or what you do, they won't leave. It doesn't matter what it is. Well, we just can't afford that. Well, we have this special financing for this vacuum. First of all, if I'm having to finance a vacuum, I probably don't need that vacuum, right? If I'm having to finance a vacuum, that's probably the here's your sign right there, you know. And we can't afford it. Well, we have financing, or we already have a vacuum. Well, does your vacuum do this, you know? And then they're pouring coffee out, you know, on your carpet and vacuuming it up, you know, showing you how deep it can get. Now, listen to me. I'm being a little bit ridiculous about this, you know. And I have actually... Let me say this for those of you that have bought that vacuum, all right? That vacuum actually works. It really does work, but it is just too much money for me to buy that vacuum that they're trying to sell, right? But, oh, well, does your vacuum do this? And then, you know, you just tell them no or no thank you, and, well, we'll throw in this special free item if you'll buy today, right? We'll give you the shampooer if you'll buy today. We'll give you this air freshener thing if you'll buy today. We'll knock $200 off the price if you'll buy today. And it just seems like it's impossible for them to finally get it that I don't want your vacuum. I just don't want your vacuum, you know? It's nothing against you. I just don't want the vacuum. But they're just people that are trying to sell you stuff. Have you ever had somebody just randomly show up to your door with different products that they're trying to sell? This happens in the neighborhood we live in. It happens pretty regularly. We've had people show up and they're trying to sell us a security system. And they're showing you everything that the security system can do. We've had people show up and they're trying to sell us cleaning supplies. I mean, even out on the concrete sidewalk that goes out to the curb, they're spraying it on the sidewalk and saying, you know, look, it'll even change what your sidewalk looks like. It'll even change that, and you scrub it and you do this or whatever. And different things like that people are going around trying to sell. We had somebody not here, but where we used to live, we had somebody show up to our door that was actually selling meat. Selling meat. I mean, like, if you'll spend this much money, you get all this meat. And in that moment, we spent the money and we got all the meat. Y'all, I'm just telling you. But you get all this meat and you put it in your deep freeze and it'll last you for a while, right? But they're just showing up at your door just trying to sell you stuff. Just trying to sell you stuff. Numbers on your sidewalk, right? Or on your driveway. We've had people show up and they're just trying to sell you, hey, I'll paint, or we have these stickers, you know, and they're do all this stuff, and we'll try to get it on your sidewalk for you. And this stuff happens pretty regularly for us. And what about the ads that we see online? Just constantly people trying to sell you something. 30-day free trial. I mean, you know, when the 30 days is up, you better remember to cancel that free trial. You're about to get a year member subscription. 30-day free trial. And you try it for 30 days and you forget. If you're like me, you sign up for a free trial. It's like, hey, I'll try that. Yeah, that looks pretty cool. And then you're getting somewhere close to the end of it. It's like, well, I can't even remember my password. I don't even know what I signed up with. I got to call somebody and figure out how to cancel this thing because I don't want to get charged for a whole year, right? Just constantly, constantly, constantly. Everywhere we turn, it seems like someone is trying to sell us something. And have you ever thought about, I'm going somewhere with this, you guys, I promise you. I got you laughing right now, but it's going somewhere. Have you ever thought about sharing Jesus with somebody or witnessing to somebody or showing somebody the love of Jesus in a practical way, but you really didn't want to come across as trying to sell them something? Have you ever been there? It's like, I don't even really know. In week one, we talked about the research shows that most people, the reason why they're not sharing Jesus with people is because they don't have friends that need him, or they have the friends, but they don't know what to say. They don't know how to have that conversation or what to do or how to word it and all these things. And have you ever just felt like, I don't want to be that salesman trying to sell Jesus to people? You know, walking into their house and trying to, you know, and messaging people you don't really even know and trying to tell them about Jesus. And I just don't want to come across in that way. And we may fear being perceived as a pushy salesman, or even worse, making Jesus seem like this package deal. Like if you'll do what I tell you to do and accept Jesus, then this is what all comes with it, and we're trying to package it up, and it just comes across the wrong way, and we don't want to seem like that salesperson trying to sell Jesus to people. And why do most of us have this fear? I asked myself this question, and then I put it in my notes because I thought that's a good question to ask everybody at church on Sunday. Why do we have this fear? It's probably because most of us really don't like people trying to sell us something. The reason we have this fear of, well, I'm going to come across as trying to sell this. I don't know really how to word it. I don't know what to do so it doesn't come across this way. And most of us have that fear because we don't like it when people try to sell us stuff. We don't like it when people come up to our door and try to sell us whatever. We don't like it when we got signed up for something that we didn't know was coming. We don't like it when people are messaging us that we haven't talked to in months and trying to get us to buy into something or whatever like that. We don't like the vacuum salesman, or we're annoyed when people show up at the door, or we don't really believe that the pyramid scheme is going to make us that much money, or we pay the extra money to get rid of the ads on Pandora so that we don't have to see the ads on Pandora and you get more skips and all this stuff, because we don't like seeing all the stuff. You download an app and it says it's free, but have you ever noticed on an iPhone, most of those apps that say they're free underneath it says in-app purchases underneath it. So when you click the download button or the install button, underneath most of it, the app is free. But then when you get into that app, they're going to try to sell you something. They're going to try to sell you so that you can use the app better. Or you're going to have all these ads scrolling at the bottom of your app while you're trying to use it. And if you're like me, you know, some of these photo apps and things like that, where you have to pay this money to get rid of the advertisement for that app on your picture before you can share your picture, it's like 99 cents to get rid of the thing. And it's like, I'm going to pay 99 cents because I just don't like you trying to sell me something. Most of us are that way, and that's why we fear this when we're sharing Jesus with people around us. Now, I want us to think for just a moment about what all these salesmen, if you want to call it that, have in common that is really our biggest frustration. A lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times what we get the most frustrated with is we don't feel like they listen. We don't feel like they listen. You're not listening to me. I can't afford it. You're not listening to me. I don't want it. You're not listening to me. You're just not listening. You're trying to push this on me and push this on me and push this on me and push this on me, and you're not listening to what I am saying. You're just not listening. And the all-important key in sharing Jesus with people is to do this, and I think we have this on the screen. You can write this down. It's to listen beyond the question to the questioner. To listen beyond the question, because sometimes it's not really about the question that somebody asks. To listen beyond the question to the questioner. And I want us to look again this morning at a story about Jesus. Don't you just love Jesus? And the Bible's full of stuff that Jesus did that can help us in our everyday lives. And I want to read this story about Jesus' conversation with a woman from Samaria. Maybe you're familiar with this story, maybe you're not, but we're going to read 26 verses this morning, and then we're going to talk about it, all right? So just give you a heads up. We're going to start in verse 1. This is John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says, "The Pharisees heard that Jesus was winning and baptizing more disciples than John. But in fact, Jesus was not baptizing. His disciples were. When the Lord found out about all of this, he left Judea. He went back to Galilee again. Jesus had to go through Samaria." Now, Jesus didn't have to go through Samaria. Now, we can read this and we think Jesus had to go through Samaria because Samaria was the only way to get from where he was to where he was going. And that's not the case. There was another way. But I believe that Jesus had to go through Samaria. And there was a reason why Jesus had to go through Samaria. He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. It was near the piece of land Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was tired from the journey, so he sat down by the well. It was about noon. A woman from Samaria came to get some water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" She said this because Jews don't have anything to do with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "You do not know what God's gift is, and you do not know who is asking you for a drink. If you did, you would have asked him. He would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you don't have anything to get water with. The well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Our father Jacob gave us the well. He drank from it himself. So did his sons and his flocks and herds. Are you more important than he is?" Jesus answered, "All who drink this water will be thirsty again. But anyone who drinks the water I give him will never be thirsty. In fact, the water I give him will become a spring of water in him. It will flow up into eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water. Then I will never be thirsty, and I won't have to keep coming here to get water. He told her, Go get your husband and come back. See, she didn't quite get it yet. Jesus is talking about water that you'll never be thirsty again, and she's still talking about the well that they're standing by. So tell me how I can get this water. And so Jesus goes on because he knows you really don't know who I am just yet. He told her, Go get your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is very true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our people have worshipped on this mountain for a long time, but the Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said, Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will not worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. Salvation comes from the Jews, but a new time is coming. In fact, it is already here. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. They are the kind of worshipers the Father is looking for. God is spirit. His worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah is coming. He is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus said, I, the one speaking to you, am he. I know he's coming, and he's going to take care of us. And Jesus says, you're looking at the one that, and we could go on in this story and see that she goes back and she starts telling everybody, you got to come see this guy that just told me everything that I have ever done in my entire life. I don't know how, I've never met him. He has never been here before, but he just told me everything that I have ever done in my entire life. This story in the Bible is one of Jesus's most extensive conversations that he had. On record, this is one of the longest conversations that Jesus has had with an individual that we have recorded. And as we just read, this Samaritan woman raised one question after another, after another, after another throughout her conversation with Jesus. Well, why are you talking to me? Because you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan and we don't talk to each other. Well, why are you talking about, you don't even have anything to get water. How are you going to get this water? Well, how can I get this water? Well, what is this all about? Well, who are you really? Well, you must be a prophet. She's going through this whole conversation and she's questioning and she's trying to figure out what's going on and who this man is. And she was asking these questions as if they were really her problem. She's asking all these questions, and if you read it on the surface, you would think, well, she really just don't understand. And she really just thirsty. And she really just needed some water. And she, you know, she has a point. And she's asking these questions like these questions are really the problem. But how many of you know Jesus knew that that's not the problem? That the things that she's asking me, that's not really the root of it. That's not really going to help anything. If I help her get some water, some physical water out of this well, it's really not going to help her in the long run. Because she'll be back here tomorrow to get more water. The questions that she's asking is not the question. She doesn't know what she needs to be asking me. She doesn't know what she needs to be asking me. And he listens through the questions to the questioner. And he's sitting there thinking, this is what the real problem is, and I'm gonna figure out a way to get her. She's gonna keep asking me questions, and I'm gonna figure out a way to get her to ask the right questions so that I can give her what she really needs in her life, which isn't this water from this well. It's me. It's me. Jesus valued the people he came across in everyday situations. His concern was not for his schedule or even his reputation, but it was the person in front of him. Jesus wasn't so concerned about his schedule or his reputation or what he had going on or the next place that he needed to get to. He was willing to go out of his way to stop somewhere where he shouldn't even be stopping, according to their law, to do something for somebody, that he wasn't even supposed to be talking to. He wasn't worried about all those things. He was more worried about the people that were around him. The people that were around him. This morning, I want to give you three things that Jesus did in this conversation that eventually won this woman over. And then I want to give you one final thing that I believe every one of us need to do, and it's going to be the key to you being able to share the love of Jesus and share Jesus with people around you. So what did Jesus do? Here's the first thing. We've been talking about it a little bit already this morning. He listened. Jesus listened. Wouldn't it have been easy for Jesus to call this woman's bluff? As soon as she walks up to the well, he could have just told her everything she needed to know right there. You're asking me this question and you don't even, I see right through you. Jesus knew. Jesus knew. As the story and the conversation goes on, Jesus begins to tell her things and she's wondering, I don't know how you even know about all this stuff in my life. But Jesus doesn't just show up and call her on something. Because how many of you know, how many of you like when somebody comes up to you and they're going to try to do something for you and the first thing they do is they walk up and they call you on something? Well, you need to quit that. Well, okay. All right, then. I'll just quit since you're so convincing. I'll just quit right now. I don't think it works like that. Jesus listened. When he could have called her on her bluff, he listened. He could have been like, listen, lady, you're asking me all these questions when we both know that's not really your problem. You're asking me all these questions and we both know that's not really what we need to be dealing with right now. You're okay, let's stop beating around the bush, lady, and let's get right to it and let's deal with what we need to deal with. But we don't, maybe you operate that way and maybe you're okay with people just coming up to you and just being, you know, right in your face about it. But most people are not. And Jesus, we've said this through this whole series, Jesus was a genius when it came to stuff like this. And that's why we're looking at so many stories about Jesus. Because he had it figured out. He was more concerned about the people and listening to the people than he was about what was going on around him and his schedule and where he needed to be and what was going on in his world and his life and who the disciples went to go get some food and when are they going to be back and I'm more concerned about eating than I am about this person. That's not the way that Jesus was. He could have called her on it, but he listened. He listened. He already knew what she was doing, but he listened. You ever been in a conversation with someone and you knew that they were talking around their real issue? you just knew, you had it figured out that they're really talking around. This isn't really what they wanted to talk to me about. This isn't really, you know, this. They think this is the problem, but I can see that there's something deeper than that. And in the conversation, you're like, they're asking me all these questions, but this isn't really where we need to go with this conversation because this isn't what is going to fix it. This isn't what's going to fix the thing that they're coming to me about. But not only, that's what the Samaritan woman was doing. But instead of calling her out on it, Jesus listened to her. And not only did he listened to her. He was listening beyond the questions that she was asking. Beyond the surface level questions or theological level questions that she was asking, he was listening beyond all of that to her. When was the last time that we listened to the person we were trying to reach? When was the last time you had somebody that God laid on your heart and you were trying to reach them? When was the last time you just listened? And you ever notice that when you just listen, when we, you know, can shut our mouths for a minute and just listen to somebody as they talk about their problem, a lot of times they'll keep on talking and you'll be able to listen through the questions and through the surface level stuff that they're talking about, and eventually you'll get to what the real issue is. But you can't get there when somebody comes to you and says, boy, this is my problem. You're like, I know how to fix that. Let me just tell you how to fix that. You need to quit this and this and this and this and do this and everything will be better. Because most people don't respond to that. And Jesus knew that. The only way he was going to win this woman over was by, first of all, listening to her. Here's number two. He valued her. He valued her. The value of a person was an essential part of Jesus' message, and we've got to be the same way. We have to value people over the stuff. You've got to value people over the stuff. Have you ever been valued by somebody? Have you ever felt valued by somebody? Didn't it change the way that you kind of carried yourself? And didn't it change the way that you saw your situation? And didn't it change the way your outlook and maybe gave you some hope because somebody showed you that they valued you even though you were in the middle of something or you were really having a struggle in some area? That they valued you above all the other stuff. They valued you. That's what Jesus did. Jesus always cared more about the person than anything else. And can I just tell you this morning, we have to care more about the person than about the sin. We've got to care more about the person than about the sin. We've got to care more about the person than about the task. We've got to care more about the person than about the behavior. Because the behavior, and this goes back to people belonging before they believe. Jesus is the only one that can change your behavior. You can try all day long to change your behavior. But if you don't have Jesus, I don't know how you're going to get there. Jesus is the only one that can change your behavior. And in order to give people Jesus, we need to value the people and not be so focused on the sin and on the behavior and on what they're doing, but more focused on them. And I see, when God gets a hold of them, it's going to be something else because they're so committed to this. And I know that it's wrong, and they may or may not know that it's wrong, but I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on giving them Jesus. And when they get Jesus, Jesus can change all the behavior. Jesus can change the sin. He already paid for the sin. We spend too much time trying to change people rather than just listen to them. Show them that they're valuable, that you care more about them than you do the stuff. The Samaritan woman's sin and behavior was not as valuable to Jesus as the woman herself. Jesus told her everything. He's like, I know this is what you got going on right now in your life, but I can give you something that you'll never thirst again. But here's what Jesus was saying. You keep going to this and this and this and this and this to try to fill this void in your life. And if you'll let me fill it, you'll quit looking. If you'll let me fill it, you'll quit looking. You won't be thirsty anymore. You won't be looking for approval from people. You won't be looking for people to be there for you all the time. And looking to your spouse to be everything for you when Jesus needs to be everything for you. We've got to value the people above all the other stuff. When we value the person above all else, we'll be able to listen sensitively and be able to understand what is really being asked when we value them. We got to listen, value the person. Here's number three, what Jesus did. He gave her hope. He gave her hope. Look back at verses 10 through 15. Jesus answered her, "You do not know what God's gift is, and you do not know who is asking you for a drink. If you did, you would have asked him. He would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you don't have anything to get water with. The well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Our father Jacob gave us this well. He drank from it himself. He did so did his sons and his flocks and his herds. As are you more important than he is?" Jesus answered, "All who drink this water will be thirsty again. But anyone who drinks the water I give him will never be thirsty. In fact, the water I give him will become a spring of water in him." But I don't know if that excites you as much as it excites me to think Jesus is saying, if you give people me, then the water that they drink will actually grow in them and they will become the water. then it'll be spilling out of every person that you've given me to. So when we give people Jesus, now they're going and giving people Jesus. And then they're going and giving people Jesus. And they're going and giving people Jesus. And it becomes, there's this water, you become the water in people's lives. And now you can do what Jesus did. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, then I will never be thirsty and I won't have to keep coming here to get water." Now, while she didn't quite understand everything that Jesus was talking about, she knew that whatever he's talking about is what I want. Whatever, I don't completely get it yet, but whatever he's talking about, that's what I want. I want that water. I don't want to have to keep coming back here. I don't want to have to keep doing this. I want what he's talking about. When we give people hope, hope is attractive. Hope is attractive. You ever felt hopeless and somebody gave you hope? It can change everything. Somebody just giving you some hope. You ever been in financial trouble and some money shows up in your mailbox after you've been praying? Somebody shows up at your front door, or you go to pay for something and somebody's already paid for it and you get a little bit of hope? Oh. I think God might be taking care of me. I think people actually do care. You get a little bit of hope. This woman got a little bit of hope, and it started to change something in her. Where she's asking all these questions, and eventually she goes on and she's telling everybody, "You got to come meet this guy. He's talking about water that you never get thirsty again. He's telling me everything I've ever done. You got to come meet this guy." And so now she's telling people about Jesus before she ever even really understands Jesus. And now all these people are like, I don't really understand Jesus either, but let's all gather around. Let's listen to Jesus talk. Let's listen to what he has to say, because I like the hope that he's given me. We got to give people hope. Give people hope. When was the last time that you were intentional to give someone hope? While this woman thought that her life would always be the way it was, you ever thought that this is just the way it's going to be? You ever met somebody that thought this is just the way it's going to be, and you can tell by the way they communicated that this is just the way that my life will always be? And this woman was probably thinking, it's just always going to be this way. I'm always going to have to do the same things over and over and over again. My relationships never seem to work out. Something always goes wrong. Something's always off. And she feels like this is the way it's going to be. And Jesus gave her hope that her future could be different. That her future could be different. When was the last time you gave someone hope? So Jesus listened. Jesus valued her. Jesus gave her hope. And here's number four. And this is something that you can take with you, and you can take it to the bank. And this is good stuff, and it's going to sound so simple, and I've already mentioned it a few times in this series, but here's number four. We share our story. We share our story. We have to be willing to share with other people what God has done for us. Because everybody thinks, and I know you've been there and I've been there, everybody thinks they're alone. Everybody thinks I'm the only one that struggles with this. Everybody thinks I'm the only one that's ever been through this. I'm the only one that's going through this right now. I'm the only one who's had to live this way. I'm the only one who's been here. Everybody feels like they're isolated. But when you begin to share your story with people, all of a sudden they begin to figure out, oh, I think this is just a human problem. This isn't necessarily specific to me. I think the enemy might just be targeting everybody. And you've been through that? Well, that's good to know, because I'm going through it right now. Can you help me get out of it? Can you tell me how to get through it? When you start sharing your story with people, and there's a scripture in 1 Peter 3:15, and we're not going to read it, but it tells you that you need to be ready to the best of your ability, that when people are asking you questions and people want to know about the hope that you have, people want to know about Jesus, that you have the best of your ability, the scripture and the word in your heart, so that you can tell them those things and answer people's questions to the best of your ability. But I think sharing your story is probably the best witnessing you'll ever do in your life. Sharing what God has done for you, especially with people, if you've been saved, especially with people that you used to be around, and all of a sudden you're like a completely different person, and you start telling them what Jesus has done for you and what God has done for you, and all of it, there's some interest going to come up. Like, I don't know why I used to do this, and I don't know why you're doing that. Man, I apologize. I don't know what's going on with this thing. There, people start getting curious, like, what is going on? What is going on with this woman? What is going on with this man? Like, they used to be into all this stuff, and they used to be living this way, and now they're over here, and they're doing things for people, and they're going to church, and I'm reading their Bible the other day. Like, what in the world? Like, what in the world? I've seen them doing all this other stuff. It's like they're polar opposite of what they used to be doing, and they're like, what is going on? And you can share your story and tell them, you'll never believe the experience that I had with Jesus and how it changed my life. And I'm telling you, it can change yours too. And then you have a conversation where you're sharing your story and where you've come from and where you've been and what Jesus has done for you. And it's probably the most powerful witnessing tool that you will ever have in your life. In your life. As you go about your day-to-day activities, what are you thinking about? What are you paying attention to? Are you looking for people who might need hope, who might need your story, who might need a listening ear, who might need for somebody to make them feel valued? And we can't allow ourselves to get distracted anymore from the hearts and the needs of people around us. We have too much. I'm going to bring the worship team back up. We have too much going on, and we get too busy that we are not paying attention to the hearts and the needs of the people around us every single day. Because we're in the zone, and we're working, and we're doing our job, and we're punching the clock. And when we get done, we got to be from here to here in 7 minutes. And I ain't got no time to talk to anybody because I've got another appointment in 10 minutes. So I can't hang out here for any longer. I got to be over here, and then I got to get over here for this and get over there for that. And we don't leave any opportunity for there to be any open doors for us to be able to share our story. Can I encourage you today to pay attention? Just some practical things. Pay attention at the cashier's register. Just in your day-to-day activities, just pay attention. Don't be so consumed with what you have to do that you forget about other people around you. Pay attention at the gas pump. Be aware of the table that's next to you. What difference could we make if we weren't always consumed with ourselves and thinking about what we need to hurry and do next? What impact could we have on somebody's life if we weren't always so consumed? Now, I know you have schedules and I have schedules. And you've got to be at work at a certain time and you get off at a certain time and you want to eat dinner with your family. I'm not talking about turning your life upside down. I'm talking about allowing Jesus to inconvenience you. That when you really wanted to get the groceries home by 7 and somebody stopped you in the parking lot and started talking to you because they're having a hard time, that you take a moment and you stop and you listen and you value them and you give them hope. And if the opportunity presents itself, that you share your story. That's all I'm talking about. Not ditch your family, and I've got to be out on the streets doing this all the time, and you're never home or whatever. I'm talking about in your day-to-day life, the things that you're doing, God will bring opportunity for you to do those things if you're looking for it. If you're looking for it. If you're willing to be inconvenienced by somebody else's struggle. If you're willing to take time out of your day to take your eyes, that's what yesterday was all about. And for those that were there when we before we prayed yesterday and left, that's what we were encouraging each other to do, is let's take our eyes off of ourselves. We're all going to stink. We're all going to sweat. We're all going to say it's humid 37 times. We're probably going to get rained on a little bit. But for the next 4 hours, let's take our eyes off of us and put it on somebody else and do something for somebody else. Share the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Live your life in a way that people see Jesus. And when opportunity arises, when opportunity knocks, share your story. Share your story. And see if it won't change somebody's life. See if it won't change and make a difference in somebody's life. The when necessary moments are there every single day as you go through life. The question is, what are you doing to take advantage of them? Will you stand with me? What are you doing to take advantage of the when necessary moments in your life? Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to value people above all the junk? Are you willing to give somebody hope when they feel like they have no hope? And are you willing to share your story with somebody else so that it can change somebody else's life? Can give somebody else encouragement. God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you have spoken to us and given to us during this series. God, I believe that it is foundational, that it is time for us as the church to make an impact and share you with the people around us every single day. And God, I believe that you have given us new tools. You've given us a new approach. You've given us a new understanding. You've given us some guidelines to go off of. You've given us some things to focus on. And Lord, I pray that we would not forget. That we would not forget. Help us to be your hands and your feet to a hurting world around us. When we're at work, when we're at home, when we're at the store, when we're at the gas station, everywhere that we are. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you this. If you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus, you've never given your life to Jesus, and you know right now that's the first thing that I need to do. I need to give my life to Jesus. I want everything that He has for me. I want that life to the fullest that He talks about. And if that's you, I just want to lead you in a prayer. We're not here to embarrass you. I just want to lead you in a prayer, and you can pray this in your heart. And I believe if you mean this in your heart, then you can walk out of here today knowing that Jesus is Lord of your life and that you have a hope and a future. So let's pray this. Jesus, thank you for loving me unconditionally. Thank you for loving me in my mess. Thank you for loving me in my sin. And thank you for allowing me to belong before I believe. And today is my day. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Transform my life. I've been trying to do things and live life my way, and I want to live it your way. I want everything that you have for me and nothing that you don't. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to invite our prayer team to come down. We're going to sing one final song. If you need prayer for anything, you can come down for prayer. We would love to pray for you. If not, we encourage you, let's worship this one final time for the next few minutes. Let's worship Jesus. Let's lift Him up in this place. Let's lift our hands, lift our voices. God, I thank you for every person that's here. I pray every person that needs prayer would come down for prayer, that you would draw them for prayer, Lord. They would allow us to pray with them. Lord, we lift you up. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.